Growing up, my favorite time of year was summer. And one of the reasons why my favorite time of the summer was because we got to go on family vacations. How many of you went on a family vacation this summer? Okay, so that's quite a few of you guys went on a family vacation this summer. Well, I grew up in a place called Northeast Arkansas, which suffice it to say, it is about as flat can be. So you can imagine how excited that I was the day that my dad announced to my younger siblings and I that we would in fact be traveling to the Great Smoky Mountains. We were excited, but we had a few questions, like number one, like what's a mountain? And number two, how far is it? How long is it going to take us to get there? And then the most important question of all, when we get there, will there be a pool? I don't know why. That's all that we really cared about. I wish I could tell you that we were as patient with my mom and dad as they were with us. By the way, my mom and dad are probably watching this later on demand. Hi, mom and dad. I'm not actually standing here right now, but I love you. Sorry we weren't as patient as we should have been with you. But in our defense, it was the day before an electronic device in every child's hand. I mean, come on. What we got was sit back and look out the window. That was about what we got. It only takes a few times to hear that, and you're like, I don't know about this trip. We were good to go, but we just had some questions. So here's what my dad would do. My dad had this Rand McAnally Road Atlas. Does anyone remember the McAnally Road Atlas? Okay, some of you remember. So for those of you who don't know what this is, it's like a map on paper. So before everybody had their map on their phone, we had this paper map called the Atlas. And here's what my dad would do. He would point to where we had been. And then he would point to where we were. And then he would point to where we were going. He would say things like this. The place that we're staying, it's on a gravel road. So when the road starts to get bumpy, you're going to know we're getting close to the place. And then he would encourage our hearts even more. He would say, and yes, when we get there, there will be a pool. And yes, when we get there, you can change your clothes first thing. We don't have to do anything else. You can just do all the cannonballs into the pool that you want to. And guess what? We did. It went just like he said it would. We got to do all the cannonballs. He kept his word. He knew that knowing his plan, and he knew that knowing what to expect would give us hope. It's just what good fathers do. But what I want you to know today, what I'm so excited to tell you today, is that this is exactly what your Heavenly Father has done for you. So here's the fundamental question that we're asking today. How has God told us what he's doing and what he's going to do? The answer that we're going to see to this question today is in this. Covenants. Everyone say covenants. Now, this isn't a word that we use very often, so the word covenants, let's define it a bit. A covenant is a contract, a treaty, an agreement, or alliance between two parties. It formally binds the two parties together in a relationship with consequences for breaking or keeping the covenant. Covenants in the scripture, God has made covenants with different people. Sometimes they're a unilateral covenant. That means unconditional. That basically means that God said it, and it's done. Here's an example. When you see a rainbow, you are seeing a sign of a covenant that God said to Noah, I will never flood the earth again. It's a unilateral covenant. And then another covenant that God made with Moses, the Mosaic covenant, sometimes we call it the Old Covenant, was a covenant made bilaterally, which means it did have conditions. There were blessings for the nation of Israel, but it would come on the condition of their obedience. Now, bilateral, unilateral, here's the point. God is a covenant-making God. But God is a covenant-keeping God. So, just in case you have to leave early today, I want to give you the bottom line up front. Or kids, if your parents are like, well, what did he talk about? This is your cheat code right here. This is what you need to remember right here. God is not a human being, and he will not lie. He is not a human, and he does not change his mind. What he says he will do, he does. What he promises, he makes come true. And now the cheat code. Here it is. Somebody say, God keeps his covenants. Say it again. God keeps his covenant. One more time all together. God keeps his covenant. Now we're on the same page. There's your cheat code right there. God keeps his covenants. You see, we're different. Our plans, they change. We make deals, but then sometimes we get better offers. We make appointments. Sometimes we get stuck in traffic. You see, we can't see the future, but God can. And because God sees all the way to the end of history, here's what we know. When he tells us what he's going to do, he's not desiring the future. He's describing it. So, this word from Isaiah. Look at this, Isaiah 46, I am God. The only God you've ever had or ever will have, incomparable, irreplaceable, from the very beginning, telling you what the ending will be, all along letting you in on what is going to happen, assuring you, I'm in this for the long haul. I'll do exactly what I set out to do. So God is going to do exactly what he set out to do. So as we enter into this study about the end times, it just makes sense that we would take a look at what he has set out to do. Before we get into conversations, the more dramatic discussions of the tribulation or the rapture or the millennium, it makes sense that we would take a moment and look at what God has already said he is going to do. How do we know what he's going to do? He has shared this with us through covenant. Someone say, God keeps his covenants. Here are six of them. We're going to zero in on a few of these more than others today. But six covenants that God makes throughout Scripture. The Adamic covenant. That's the covenant made with Adam and Eve. Talked about that last week. The Noahic covenant. The covenant made with Noah. The Abrahamic covenant. The one made with Abraham and all of his heirs. And then the Mosaic covenant. We also call it the Old Covenant, the Davidic Covenant. We'll talk about that one here in a little bit. And then the New Covenant. That's the one that you and I have been invited into. We'll talk about that one in just a minute. But here's what we know. What God has said he will do. In fact, let's look at that Isaiah 46 one more time. What I've said, that I will do. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change his plans. We do. But God does not. God made a covenant. Max talked about this last week. God made a covenant with Adam and Eve. That covenant was for them to have dominion. It was to exercise authority over all of creation. And they did. Well, until they didn't. See, they didn't keep up their end of the bargain, but God did. Why did God keep up his end of the bargain? Somebody say, God keeps his covenants. He kept his covenant with Adam and Eve. That's why we've said God did not cancel his plans. He didn't change his mind. He just put them on pause. God will have his garden. And then God went on. He made a covenant with Noah. And then he made a covenant with Abraham and his heirs. And for our purposes today, we're going to just dive in a little deeper into that particular covenant. And for our purposes today, we're going to look at this covenant in terms of the promises of the seed and the soil. God promised to bless Abraham and all of his heirs through his seed. Look at this from Genesis. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Did you catch the promise? The promise that I will make you a great nation. Now, if you were to plan to take a trip, maybe your next family vacation, and you were to take a trip to see the Greek Empire or the Roman Empire or any number of earthly kingdoms that have come and gone, can I just save you a little time and a little money and just tell you is not there. It's gone. All of those earthly kingdoms have come and they've gone. But you know what? In March, Alicia and I are going to be taking a group of some of you to a little nation in the Middle East called Israel. You can get the stamp on your passport to go to Israel. Now, how is that possible? With all of these earthly kingdoms that have come and gone, how is it that we can visit today since 1638? God made this promise to Abraham. By the way, that was BC. He made a promise. How is it? How is it that all of this time, will somebody please join me and just say, God keeps his covenants?
God keeps his covenants.
That's why. And doesn't it make sense that if God's going to keep his covenant for the seed, that he would also keep the covenant for the soil? Let's look at this promise. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Cadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites. I should have you guys up here repeating all of these. See how y'all do. Rephites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Yes, thank you. I know some of y'all reading your Bible and you're going, I don't know about all this. I'll wait to see how the preacher pronounces that one. Well, good luck with that too. But there's a promise in here. Not only that I will make you a great nation, but did you know that Israel is the only nation mentioned in the Bible to whom God has given land? And did you notice there were some pretty specific geographical borders, including modern-day Israel, but then also parts of Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, even parts of Iraq? Doesn't it make sense that God, if he's going to honor the promise, the covenant of the seed, that he would also honor the covenant of the soil? You see, God does what he says he is going to do. When he says it, it's as good as done. It's almost as if it's already happened. And we're already starting to see signs of this covenant, even in our day, in our time, as people continue to return back to their homeland of Israel. God will do what he said he's going to do. It just seems like as we go forward and we're talking about all the things that are going to take place throughout the end times, that this understanding of this covenant would come into play. Well, God made another covenant. He made a covenant to David, to King David. Here it is. Your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established for how long?
Forever.
You see, this promise is to King David that someone from the house of David is going to rule on the throne of David for how long?
Forever.
Now, we understand this descendant of David, this ruler, to be none other than Jesus Christ. Now, how do we know that? Well, 1,000 years before this promise was made, or 1,000 years after that promise was made, there was an angel named Gabriel who came to visit a young Hebrew girl named Mary. And he quoted this covenant to her. Look at this. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob. How long? And of his kingdom there will be no end. Now there's a few things that have to happen for this to happen. Well, first of all, there has to be a nation of Israel that exists. It does. But second, one of David's descendants Jesus has to be alive. He is. There's a third thing that has to happen. He has to return to this earth one day. He will. He will, in bodily form, literally sit on the throne of David to fulfill that promise. How do we know? Someone say, God keeps. He's going to keep his covenant to David. One last covenant, one last compelling covenant that God made, this time with Jeremiah. We call it the new covenant. Here it is. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. They no longer will teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins. What does it say?
No more.
What a beautiful, stunning, compelling covenant. The new covenant that, yes, you and I have been invited into. Because of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ has been invited into this new covenant. But before we just leap to the conclusion that this new covenant has been made for the church, did you happen to notice who this covenant was made with? Let's look at this next verse. The day is coming when I will make a new covenant with who? People of Israel and of Judah. You see, this is the promise of return. This is the promise of revival. The return is happening. I've got good friends who have moved back to Israel, along with thousands of others, to returning to their homeland. It is happening. It is happening in our day and time. It's happening right before our very eyes. The revival? Well, not completely. Not yet. But in Revelation, there's a picture that we're shown. We're going to talk more about this in other in another part of the series. But when Revelation talks about 144,000 Jewish evangelists going forth, here's the result. Great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This is the covenant that God has made with Israel and Judah. He first made it to Jeremiah. And because of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, we have been invited in to this covenant as well. And he will remember our sins no more. Now, we do not know when all this is going to happen. But we know it's going to happen. How do we know? Somebody say, God keeps his covenants. Thank you, Lord. I think my love for family vacations has definitely been passed on to my kids. Because we have, pretty much, I can't remember really a year that we didn't try to do at least something. But if you know anything about the Eads family, you know that one of our favorite destinations for a family vacation is an amusement park. It doesn't matter what amusement park, any amusement park will do. And we loved going to Universal, and when the kids were really young, it was a long drive to get to Orlando from Northeast Arkansas. And so what we would do is we would tell the kids, hey, we're going to be leaving early in the morning. We're going to get a jump start on it. So here's what you need to do. You need to have your clothes on already. Because if y'all ever tried to wake up early in the morning and try to get kids dressed, yeah, that's insanity. That's the definition of insanity right there. So we didn't do that. We had them get dressed. And I know this because I watched some of the home videos this past week. It was so funny. I was watching one of them, and I was filming them as they were waking up, and the covers were pulled out. They had their shoes on. That was a proud dad moment right there. I'm like, I did it right. Had his shoes on, ready to go, ready to go. Because that's what we'd do. We would tell them, hey, you need to be ready. We would kind of explain it to them. We would talk it through. If we've never been to Universal, then we would just talk about the different kinds of rides and that sort of thing. We were trying to do what my dad did for me so many years ago, and that is just prepare them and let them know what to expect so they could enjoy the journey. Speaking of home videos, here's a little home video of one of those particular mornings, a video of Annie.
Good morning. How are you feeling this morning? Do you know where we're gonna go?
Universal.
Are you excited? What are you gonna ride first?
Panda Hat Ride.
Oh, that's gonna be fun. Well, you know what? We gotta go get in that van and we gotta get going. If we're gonna get there, we gotta go. We gotta get on the road. Let's go.
Is it gonna be the bumpy road?
Not too bumpy. Come on, let's go.
She's all grown up now. She was helping lead worship this morning. Time flies. Yeah. She was not so sure. She was not 100%. But here's what she knew. Two things that she knew. Number one, she knew that she could trust the voice of her father. And number two, she knew that even if the road got bumpy, that she was going to be okay. Friends, some of you, you're here today to hear this. You can trust the voice of your Heavenly Father. And it's not a matter of if the road gets bumpy, but when the road gets bumpy, because of Jesus Christ, because He died on a cross for your sins, because He rose from the dead, because He promised to come back and He is going to come back, because of Jesus, when the road gets bumpy, you can know you're going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You see, that's what God was telling us all along. He wanted you to know. Listen, he knew about us. He knew that we would have moments of anxiety. He knew that we would wonder. He knew that we would be curious about what's next. He knew that we would be anxious about the unknown. So what did He do? He gave us His covenants. He gave us His promises so that we could know what to expect, so that we could plan, and so that when the road gets bumpy, we know that we're going to be okay. The bottom line is, be ready. Be ready to go. Come on, we gotta go. You may not agree with anything that I've said. Some of you disagree with everything that I've said this morning. I get it. Some of you may disagree with a few things, a few points here and there. Listen, this is not the understanding. It's my understanding that I've come to. But listen, here's something that we can agree on. And that is, we need to be ready. So I want to give you the opportunity right now. How do we get ready? Well, we make sure that the one, the descendant of David, who's going to be seated on that throne, who's going to reign for how long? Forever. That we surrender to His reign and to His rule. And when we do, we get to reign and we get to rule with Him for how long? I want to give you that opportunity right now. Because in 100 years from now, there's only one thing that's going to matter, and that is whether you said yes to Jesus. So we're going to pray a prayer together. If this is the first day you're surrendering your heart, I want to invite you to stand. We don't want to embarrass you. We do want to encourage you. We do want to celebrate with you today. Let's pray. Repeat after me. Jesus, I am not perfect, for I have sinned. But I believe in you. Save me. Change me. Forgive me. I give you my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.